Good morning, church. This is the first Sunday after Easter, and I've got a question for you. So, when Jesus was tempted, right, taken out when he was really hungry and asked to make food, or taken up on the top of the temple and asked for a miracle, how many of you think he was on the edge of taking the deal? Honk if you think he was close to taking that deal. Honk if perhaps you think there was no way he was ever going to take that deal when he says, man does not live by fame or food, but by the grace of God, but by every word that comes from God's mouth. So this morning, I've got a little chance right between the Gospel of John and Romans, which we'll start in 2 weeks, to answer a question, the difference between tested, tempered, and tempted. I want to start off with God cannot be tempted. This is from our verse today, that God cannot be tempted and does not tempt. Now, the question before I read the verse is, do you think that God cannot be tempted or that he's not tempted? The difference between that he has no moral choice in the matter, or that he has a moral choice, but he never makes the wrong choice. His holy character here is what we're talking about. His character on display, his holiness, his righteousness. And so no evil is found in him. I just want to make sure that we understand and do that. And so because God, I think if he's all powerful, we probably need to make sure that we understand him as that there are always choices he can make, but he never makes the one on the side of unrighteousness. He never takes the easy way out or the hard way out, but always the right way out. And so our verse this morning is verse 1:13 from James, but I'm going to read verse 11 through 17. The hot sun rises and the grass withers. The little flower droops and falls, and its beauty fades away. In the same way, the rich will fade away with all their achievements. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And remember, here's our verse. When you are being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else to do wrong. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. So don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down from us from God, our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. So, right before I start getting into definitions of tempted and tempered, I want to get into this God will get never give you more than you can handle platitude that people say. God will never give you more than you can handle. And I have very famously quoted Marika when I said that it's all more than you can handle. This was a response that she gave to friends in college. It's all more than you can handle. And by that, what she means and what I mean as I listen to that is that we as humans have never experienced life here without God's assistance, without his provision, without his thought process, without him working in us. We've never experienced it because that's what hell is, a place without God. So let me revise the platitude to say something like, God will never put you in a spot where you cannot follow him. God will never put you in a spot where you cannot follow him. So let's get into tested, tempered, and tempted. Tested in our work today when we are being tested. And I think it's clear that God does test us with situations and things like that. That isn't so that he'll know who you are. He knows what your reaction is going to be and all this stuff. He doesn't need to test you to know who you are. But you and I, we need to be tested so that we know where we break and where we need to be strengthened and where we need to, and who we are and how we define ourselves. And so the testing that God tests and teaches and corrects his people with is not so that he'll find out who we are. He already knows. The testing is for us. Tempered is an action by where metal is strengthened to the spot so it will lose its brittleness and still be strong so it can keep hold an edge but not break and things like that. The opposite of that is annealing, where you heat it to a certain temperature and bring it down really slowly from temperature so it can be soft and workable. On the other side, tempered is where you take it to just the precise temperature and you quench it quickly, and it makes steel strong. Now, frankly, with brass or bronze products, it's the other way around where you anneal, but that doesn't matter. That tempering is strengthened by an experience to allow endurance. So tested so that you will know who you are, tempered so that you will endure, tempted, that's the enticement or the choice to choose unrighteousness over holiness. Tempted. God doesn't tempt you and drag you to a spot and say, man, I wonder if he's going or she's going to choose unrighteousness today. No, that stuff comes from inside of us. From inside of us. So we revise this. God will never give you more than you can handle to. God will never put you in a spot where you cannot follow him. And as we follow him, we understand that following, we need to understand that following as rooting out of be holy as I am holy. That's the statement of holiness. That's a character trait, and righteousness, the position of where that character trait puts you in relation to the right side or the wrong side of any decision. Holiness, God, remember, is always on the right side. But for us, sometimes, always on the right side, I need to make sure that we hear this, that being on the right side of righteousness doesn't mean that we win. Sometimes it means we lose. Jesus was on the right side of righteousness when he died on the cross, when he allowed himself to be taken captive, when he allowed himself to be tried. He was on the right side. Now, you might classify that as him losing, but he was following and honoring God in those choices and making righteous choices, not put in a spot where there was no way to be righteous. There was always a path to righteousness for him. And so when we are enticed, tempted, motivated to choose unrighteousness, remember that in itself is not from God. That's from us. And in fact, before we chose Jesus, before Jesus came into our life, most of the time we might have chose righteousness behavior without Jesus in our heart, but it was more of sort of a guess or a gimmick. Now we've got his word written on our hearts, and we've got his spirit in us, guiding us into the paths of righteousness that we might choose them and live in them. And in those cases, sometimes we're tested and tempered so that we can both know who we are and how to endure those situations. But the Christian life is not about being tempted. The Christian life is much more about being tempered. The famous saying is the Christian life hasn't been tried and found wanting. It's been tried and found difficult. It's very easy to get out or around of the situation whenever you're in one of those spots where you have to choose right or wrong. There's almost always in our lives a choice. And why is that choice there? Because God is seeking mature believers who will follow him out of love. If we didn't have any choice, but we only could follow him, then what happens is that we are automatons or robots or something, puppets. But he's not after puppets. He's after true followers, people that love him. And in order for us to love him, we have to have this choice. But in order for us to be righteous, we have to follow and honor him. We are tested, tempered by God because of this, as his people. Yes, not so we'd fail, but so we'd learn to rely upon him. Now, what do we do with this tested, tempered, tempted thing? Is it easy to follow? Say, well, I was tempted and I took that choice and I failed, and now God is done with me. No, he is the God, the Redeemer God, who chooses right relationships with us. And just because you've chosen wrong in the past or I've chosen wrong in the past does not mean that we have to choose wrong anymore. But it's really easy to choose right, wrong over right, and almost always more difficult. But us, in patient endurance, as we learn to follow him and honor God in all our lives, whether we're trusting or failing, whether we're overcoming or repenting, all of this is so that righteousness can be birthed in us and that we can be found as his people. Let me read the verse again. The hot sun rises and the grass withers. The little flower droops and falls, and its beauty fades away. In the same way, the rich will fade away with all their achievements. Right? That they're not tempered to last through the heat of the day, or in this case, the struggle of the life. That if we rely on riches, we don't get that way. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that has been promised to those who love him. There's that choice thing. And remember, when you are tempted, don't say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong. He never chooses wrong. He has the character trait that always ends up on the right side of righteousness. He never chooses unrighteousness in that choice. And he doesn't put you in a spot hoping that you will. He puts you in a spot where you can know him and care for him and rely upon him. Temptation comes then from us, which entices us to drag us away, to choose the easy way out, to get the pressure relief valve, to get the pressure off of us, to get the pressure on somebody else, because we feel like we're in a spot we can't take it, or we won't make it, or we misunderstand that we think that God always wants us to be victorious, but rather God always wants us to be gloriously loving and following him in a mature way, in patient and endurance sometimes. And remember, as I said, Jesus was not on the winning side as the world sees it for crucifixion. But we are called to follow him first, that he is holy and he is righteous, and then Jesus is righteous and chooses that, and then lives in the Spirit through us and in us, so that we can be his people. Let's see, temptation comes from our own desires, which entice and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death, separation, removal, getting us to a spot where we would experience a place without God. So don't be misled, my brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and is perfect is a gift coming down from us from God our Father, who created all the lights and all the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He doesn't change. He's not going to suddenly become precariously naughty to you or something like that. Just banish that thought. But this casting of a shifting shadow, we need to make sure that when we talk about him and when we fall in love with him, we know that he does not choose unrighteousness periodically, that there's always more to the story, that has God on the righteous side of the story. Here's for us, that we should not only say that we're not tempted by God, but realize that when we're tested, That's for us. That's so that we'll know who we are, so that we can be tempered and follow and patiently endure this loving God of ours. Until all righteousness, all holiness, the character of our very God is birthed and brought to maturity in us. Will you pray with me? Dear Jesus, thank you for today, for your love, for the way you take care of us, for the way that you guide us, that you set us not up with platitudes, but with real visions of what it is to live and to follow you. Help us to fall dearly, hopelessly, love, in love with you, Lord God. Amen.